Decorating Pages is a podcast dedicated to taking you behind the scenes of the designs of your favorite TV shows and films. Each episode, I'll be sharing design stories from some of Hollywood's most famous sets, interviews from set decorators, production designers, directors, and actors about creating the look of TV and film, about their design inspirations, and stories that take sets from page to screen. Hello, and welcome to Decorating Pages. I'm your host, Kim Wanup. Happy New Year, everyone. I feel like I can say that kind of like a week or so into the new year. I think that's still acceptable. I hope everyone had a great holiday season. Looking ahead, the ADG Awards are coming up the first week of February, and so I've reached out to a few of the nominees to see if they had time to give a little interview about their nominated shows or films. And I'll be having production designer John Schaffner and production designer Francois Audi in the next couple of weeks. So I hope you get to listen to that. I'm really excited to speak to them. I mean, John Schaffner is like, hello, friends. I mean, it's iconic. And hopefully some more, which leads me to this episode about The Good Place. The Good Place is nominated for an ADG Award, and it's basically for our work on two episodes, but it's the last season for The Good Place, so it's really nice that we got nominated. We're all very happy about that. So I thought it would be fun to get together and talk about those two episodes, and for an in-depth conversation about the sets and graphics of the show in general. Plus, I really just wanted to hang out with these guys. I miss them. And we talk about The Bad Place, The Demon Con, Janet's Jail, the set extensions, how we finally built Mindy's house on stage, and all of those funny little Easter egg graphics that you gotta pause really fast to catch. So I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to my apartment, everyone but Graham. Graham is on Skype. And
Graham's here, yeah, sort of.
He's here.
Digitally.
And Ian Phillips, our production designer, and Adam Rao, our art director.
Hello.
Have joined me in my apartment with my babies trying to go to sleep, and we'll see how long that lasts, but they're fine. I turned the volume down on there. They're fine.
But you can see if they're on
fire. I can see. Yeah, they're fine. If I turn the volume up right now, it'll be like a screaming fest. They're fine. They're going to sleep through it. They're going to be fine. We are talking about our Art Directors Guild nominated episodes.
Woohoo!
Of
There's
the
some
Good
screaming.
Place.
Yes.
Yeah. Go team.
Good job, team.
Yep.
It is exciting.
It is exciting.
I say it's really exciting till that second, then you lose.
Yeah, but you know what? The nomination is really exciting, and it leads up to that very last second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up until that very last second, you have hope.
And then we just go to the bar. So,
yes.
I mean, that's fine.
Yes.
I mean, saying it's an honor to be nominated is something you say to combat the blind rage.
No, yes. Well, it's an honor to be nominated because you haven't lost yet.
Yeah, okay.
That's why. You've still got hope.
Well,
it's still hope.
Let's see. Last year.
Oh, yeah. This is our second time.
Yeah.
This is my sixth.
And, this is our fourth.
Fourth. Yeah, for third, you and I. Yeah, fourth.
Two Park and Recreation.
Third or fourth together.
Parks and Rec twice. And
yes. No, Parks and Rec once, I think, and this
so
twice.
So I had one before that. So four for me.
Yeah.
Four for you.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually, to be honest.
But you're a double nominee.
That's true.
Look at you.
Yeah. I made up for it.
Adam's on our side this year, so we're yeah. there's no question.
I actually asked to have everybody seated at the same table. We'll see if they'll do that.
Oh.
We'll see. I do think it's important to point out that the people you're listening to all work together on Park and Recreation, so
yes.
that's where this team blossomed from. So you're not just listening to people who know each other from two seasons of The Good Place,
no.
but also a heritage of people working and screaming at each other.
We've had a long history of working it out.
I don't know that we scream at each other so much as we scream about other people.
I think we worked it out.
That is an important point. I don't think I've ever screamed at either one of you or Graham. In
Not
fact,
to your face.
I get quieter when I'm around Graham in general.
Well, you gotta be nice to Graham, because that dude could blow up.
Because otherwise, your name could end up in infamy on a graphic. it could last forever.
The revenge is immortal.
Graham has graphics revenge on his side.
Yeah. Graham, have you ever graphic revenged anyone?
Have you ever graphic revenged anyone, Graham?
You don't need to give any names.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I have used anybody's name, but there's definitely been in-jokes where people were let go from a show, and then I will talk about them in a graphic.
That is awesome.
So only people on the show would know.
Oh.
But yes, that has happened before.
That's good, because we've gone through many art directors.
I actually think that's a good segue, because is the Chip Driver mystery in this any of these episodes, or is it just in season four?
I think just season four, right?
Right, but I mean in the episodes that are nominated. So we're nominated for two episodes, mm-hmm. but you know it's the breadth of season four. Right. That The Good Place were excited about. And the Chip Driver mystery was an opportunity for Graham, who at the time that I met him on Park and Recreation, wanted to be a writer. And if you pause and somehow see the craftsmanship of Graham Ratliff, you would enjoy the back cover of the Chip Driver mystery, including the front cover art.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I got lost on what you're saying.
That's okay.
Yes. Yes. I think it has been shown already. Through what has aired?
No, it has. Yes. Yeah, that episode aired. Yeah. I just didn't know if it was in the episodes that we are nominated for.
I don't think it
is.
No, okay. I don't think so. I think
Graham, do you remember?
I think they make a brief reference to it, but the visual is not in there.
Yeah. Okay. That was a different party in the back lot.
We did a few parties.
We do a lot of parties.
A different ice sculpture.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So it's Employee of the Barramy. And it is, what is the other one? We should know the name.
I think it's...
Help is Other People.
Yes, oh, Help is Other People. That's right.
Good job. I don't ever remember the names. I just remember the numbers, and then, like, I could flash at a set list and be like, yep, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember by the sets and what we were doing.
Yeah. It all runs together because we are prepping and shooting, and then you're talking with this show about like visual effects from previous episodes or if we need an insert or anything. So when we say we might not remember.
And also into the future as well. You're not just talking about the two episodes that are wrapping and prepping. You're talking about stuff that may have to get built or... designed
if we're lucky,
right? Yes, we get a jump on stuff. Certainly for visual effects, how are we going to achieve certain things, and how is visual effects going to work with us to make it all come to fruition? So
well, and the actors have gotten a lot more famous than they originally were. Not that Ted Danson wasn't famous when the show started, but they've gotten more popular, and the actor availability, especially Simone, affected our lives because scheduling them in these episodes made us bend backwards and forwards to accommodate not us personally, but the schedule to get that thing in there. I mean, we changed a lot in our lives to accommodate the actor Derek's schedule to get that kill switch scenes put in there.
Do you know that the beginning of season 7 of Parks and Rec, they didn't have any available actors the first day of shooting? Yep. They had to fly Aziz in for one day for his shots because they had no one available to shoot.
And I think Pratt was doing Guardians of the Galaxy, right? That was when he first started that.
Yeah. No one was available to shoot Parks and Rec because they had all other projects. So, yes, we do bend backwards and no one really cares.
No, that's part of our job. I mean, I don't know. We're there to make it great, whatever the schedule turns out to be. I mean, we can piss and moan as much as we want, but...
it's not going to change.
They need the actor in the room.
Yeah.
But back to Kim's point, I would have to say that is part of what makes it so hard to remember what was going on.
Yeah.
Because everything is jumbled up.
Yeah. I think we were all sort of gearing up to these huge last episodes also that are coming up. And we were getting little bits and pieces about it that... you start jumping ahead and you start getting excited about upcoming sets too. And
so
you don't always know, remember back. And plus this was like 6 months ago.
And Help Is Other People. There's that video at the beginning. I'm getting a little bit ahead, I suppose, where they have a montage of everything they've done throughout the year. And I feel like we shot that well after we had already shot the episode. Like they went back and picked up some bits for that.
I think we did.
Yeah, you're right. We did.
Yeah. It was like, I think almost to the last episode, it was like, hey, we, in part of this montage, we got to get this, and we already have that. And a lot of pieces I feel like they did have or took from other episodes, but we did have to go back and make Flower Alley.
We did. And they were, for fans that are acute, who are really paying attention, those scenes were continuations of scenes from season 1, 2, or 3. And we knew that because we knew what the precursor scene was meant to be, which did not always air. That Flower Alley scene was a continuation of something that happened in the previous season. But, so yeah, we're not just restoring a set that literally got rained on and heat stroke the last year. We had to then match it to whatever was done in season 3.
And so did hair and makeup and wardrobe. And it goes all around. I mean, I think too, though, that's was one of the nice things about this show, is that there were many instances where they said, we're going to shoot this also because it's going to come up later. Like when the statue fell on Tahani, that's how she died. Yep. They shot how she died, or like when she didn't die or something. I don't know. They shot something else that they revealed this season. That's all I remember.
And I think that happened this season too. Like there was enough work at Tahani's mansion. I know. I think you should speak on this behalf, but I don't think people wanted to go back to that mansion more than once. And we went back a lot, but we were always trying to bank footage from it.
Yeah. We constantly were going back to the mansion that nobody wanted to go back to, not only for cost reasons, but for location reasons. And we kept going back there, and I believe that we literally let the cameras run just to get footage of our actors in the space so that we could use it later.
Yeah. And out in the garden, I think they did, or they did like the existing shot with her, like walking in a couple different times, like just like having to have it.
And they tried endlessly to shoot around. Right. Wasn't there a Julius Caesar statue that the owner had bought since last time we were there? We couldn't move it.
That's correct.
That was tweeted out today by The Good Place, and I was like, oh, why are you showing that? But whatever. Let's quickly talk about these episodes that we are nominated for, because our work is being acknowledged, and that's awesome.
Yeah, and we're
really proud of it.
Congratulations. Cheers. Yeah,
it's
cheers.
An honor.
Cheers.
And I will say that it's really fun to be back together. We don't actually get together outside of work that often, so the camaraderie is true, and you can work on other shows, but when you have a laughing history with these folks, it feels really good.
We have a good time.
It's, I don't think that it's we get tired of each other. I think we're all just tired at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's never really each other. And I also think that there's a lot of respect we have for each other in our working relationships that, I mean, not Graham, but
I'm pretty sure that Kim Wanup will be seen in the near future on a graphic. Yeah. Pretty sure.
Some other show I'm not on. Graham's going to get me. Let's start with Janet's jail, which was on a location.
Yeah, and that location was the same location that we had Demon Con, we had
Architect's office.
We had Sean's office. Right? Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen a farmer's insurance commercial, it is the same building.
Definitely in there.
but what was your inspiration for that jail in designing it?
I don't know that there was really any inspiration other than it couldn't be just jail bars. Mm-hmm. Adam found those great pieces that lit up. The idea was that it was a force field that is holding Janet in, and Adam came up with those great pieces that we ended up using, and we built that set inside of a back corner of that space.
Windows behind it that we plugged,
a few of the windows, and there, if I'm not mistaken, on the day that we were installing, there were homeless men screaming outside of the windows.
Downtown LA.
Downtown Los Angeles. But it was really, it had to feel like it was from another world. And that was our justification for designing that.
I think that there's also a balance that you have so well in this show of, we don't have any rules, but we have rules. So it still has to be a That's jail correct. to the human eye, but it doesn't necessarily have to look like a jail, or it could be something else. Like, you have that freedom, but you also have the restriction of them always relating to it to the humans.
Right, and it's not like we're doing a futuristic piece.
Right.
No, we're not doing something that's sci-fi that is so just out of this world.
Yeah.
I think everything always relates back to sort of the human condition, because the story really is about what our characters who used to be human. Janet is not a human. And she's not a girl, so it's
Yeah, I think the challenge is to show something to the human, to the viewers, that like they could believe that a robot couldn't get out of.
Right.
And like no one really knows what
By
that
the
is.
Way, not a robot.
Oh yeah, not a robot. Yes, but... you're right. Not a girl, not a robot. I'm mad at myself for saying that. But that's the challenge, is like, and we ran into that again in the Bad Place jail. Like, how do you do something? And this had been shot before.
Right.
So, like, right. Ian had to kind of run with a light force field. You know, right. what is it that's going to keep someone in?
Yeah. Right. And you still want it to look interesting. So we did take a lot of cues from lighting in order to create effects that felt like it was a force field of sorts. We ran lights around the bars. We ran lights right in the ceiling. We had lights on the floor.
I took
we
the
had...
light out. I remember taking, we took the, there
we
was
did take
a light.
A practical
we took
a, fixture
put the
out.
Practical yeah. out. All I remember was, does she need a bench? And it was like a discussion, like, would she sit? She doesn't sit. So
she
why would
really
there be
I think
sit.
You also asked, saying, like, is there a toilet?
Yeah. I was like, is this like jail? And they were like, it's just
no,
just a
she
space.
Doesn't eat. She doesn't. Poop.
Which is hard for me.
Jeez, right.
It's hard for me to really check that one off. Oh, you don't need anything? Okay, cool. I'm moving on. Okay. But why? Why do we not? But we do ask those questions. But, like in meetings. I mean, and these are things, I must say, in meetings, the art department, and I would say wardrobe, we ask questions to our creators and our producers. And a lot of times it's, I don't know. What do you got? Or, you know, there's a freedom there
Come
that
up with
they,
something.
They let us, you know, create yeah. or propose, especially with props, with Gay. And I think wardrobe, they were always open to things. And I definitely think with the sets, what we would come up with or what we would propose, you yeah. were always ready with drawings and examples and everything. So,
well, and specifically in that jail, I remember Adam asked about some puck lights, some mm-hmm. tap lights. To put in the cell, and Graham came up with a graphic to put on to those puck lights so that it wasn't just a light.
Right.
There was something else that was there that made it feel very surreal. It wasn't just a something from the human world.
Right.
That could have been achieved. We took everything and manipulated it as much as we could.
Yeah.
In order to make it feel like it was from another world.
All right. It was maybe 4 seconds of screen time, so let's move on.
Okay, yeah.
the railroad scene where... now, that was a rental, right? Or did you...
Yeah, that yeah. unit actually has... You know, it's the most photographed, you know...
I don't know what that's
hand
called.
Hand pump cart?
Yeah, hand pump cart. Yeah.
Briefly, it's a rental. You can find... can call me. I can tell you where I got it. It's a chassis of a golf cart sitting with a piece of scenery over it that looks like a pump cart. It doesn't actually function. If you'll notice, I think it's Manny. I don't think Ted Danson was driving it. I think Manny was driving it, and it's a gas pedal under
now,
his right
now,
foot.
What do you mean by
Adam
just pushing up and down?
It doesn't,
is that what you mean?
It doesn't actually function. What he means is
it didn't move.
The hand
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah,
pump
the handrail
does not actually create the motion of the cart.
That's true.
It is actually a pedal that moves the cart forward and backward.
Yep. And there's two scenes where it was used. We actually had it a lot in season 4, but the two scenes we're specifically talking are, there was a green screen scene. David Neednagle, you know, basically made the entire world, which is the tunnel on the way to the Bad Place.
Yep.
And then there's a small snippet
in the Bad Place.
Although I have to say that original drawing came from the art department to go to Neednoggle so that he could create the tunnel.
Yeah, and, you drew that. And this, and I think you made the, drew the sign, and then Graham turned the sign into a graphic.
What, what did the sign say? Do we know?
Something your mom, right?
Yeah, welcome to the bad place, population, your mom.
Yes, that is right.
And it's very quick. I mean, you know, you have to pause it to see that.
But it's on, I mean, I know I saw this because I just rewatched it and I saw the sign down there, but I didn't, I couldn't see what it, but everyone loves an Easter egg. So, you know.
Take a look. Take a look.
When they land into the bad place, that is a location that we dressed as the end of the railroad stop. And that location was also the Museum of Torture from a previous season. And getting to redo a location is always fun. To make it into something else.
And it's also a really interesting location historically in LA.
Beautiful. It's a chocolate factory.
Yeah.
There's 16 or 12 different spots around downtown LA that have these little glazed tile vaulted ceiling like little stores.
And they are murals.
Yeah, they're beautifully done.
Yeah, they're absolutely beautiful. No, they're tile. They are ceramic.
It's gorgeous.
Tile. Yeah, that was hand cast.
I have pictures.
There were three mirrors in there that we covered with images that you picked that related to the bad place.
That that Graham actually turned into tiles.
Oh, yeah.
And those were, they were Doré, right, Graham?
Yeah. I think we took two images and one of them we split and then we recolored them. And then place them in to look like they were on tile. And I think it was just a vinyl print.
That's correct. Yeah. And they were, those were, they were either woodblock cuts or etchings that you colorized.
Correct.
Yeah.
I really love that location. So anytime we get to do a set down there, I think it's great. Yeah, I do too. It was very quick. It was really.
And that was. That was not an easy set to do. I mean,
no, we had 75 feet of track because we weren't really sure. Nobody really knew. I mean, not accusing writer, director, producer.
No.
Nobody really knew how that scene was going to actually play out. Like, how were they going to arrive? Because
it was a lot longer than what was aired.
Right. And not only that, like, we didn't know what the digital footage was going to be. So there could have been dialogue coming down the track. We didn't know at that time.
Right.
And what was the platform? This is the end of the line, and train tracks are surrounded by gravel and dirt, and Adam came up with a great idea to use cork.
Yeah, that was fun.
And
that
we poured, I can't tell you how much cork all the way down that location, but it was perfect because it was not dirt, and we didn't have to scrape it all up.
Yeah, it was clean dirt.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a good example of really good team effort. I mean, electrical was swapping out lights. Green's team was putting down cork. Construction was building train track.
Yeah.
Set dressing was coming in to dress the debris.
Yeah.
Graphics was making signage. I mean, it's just one tiny scene, but you stitch all those together, and you're going to see a lot of tiny scenes in The Good Place.
Well, that on top of that location is a block away from where we did Demon Con and the jail. So we're dressing that and putting all that stuff in while they're shooting the other scenes. And I mean, I think it was one day there and maybe a half day at the railroad even. It was very quick that they shot over there
and
for all of that work.
And one of the great things about The Good Place is that there were so many locations and so many different scenes that really helped build the story.
Yeah.
Because without all of those different places, I don't know that the story would be the same.
No. I think we're lucky with working with like a Mike Schur or a Morgan Saget or people who don't say no often. And sometimes you want them to. Be like, oh, we're really going to do this? Because I don't think it's going to work. That's not going to work.
You can't afford that.
And then they're sort of yes producers and yes writers and that freedom that, and then they're yes to us, which, you know, it doesn't happen on every show. So we're lucky.
No, they take humor too very seriously. I think it's important to note that we do too.
Oh, the irony
like,
in that. Yeah. That's a great statement.
Yeah,
right there.
We do. We want people to laugh at this show, and we're self-absorbed enough to know that we want people to laugh at our sets. Like this set has to support whatever's going on. And even though we knew that that end of that railroad or then, you know, the next set, the employee of the month, like,
yeah,
we want people to enjoy it too. And if yeah. they're if
I think honestly Graham takes that the most seriously, yeah. because
which is so great if, because Graham's if you such look a straight at guy
any
man.
Of the printed material any of the printed material it is the most brilliant writing
yeah
that can possibly be done in graphics.
I want to call you out on the spot, Graham. What was the asterisk at the bottom of Bees? It was from the makers of other things. So if you pause, Jason's walking down the hallway and play the month.
Any other animals that would also be available. So it was like wasps, scorpions, a number of things. Yeah, and it's hard to hide stuff down at the bottom. I mean, more often than not, on other shows, if I try to hide stuff in there, it's really for the crew because no one else is going to see it. Like on Parks, early on, my favorite thing would just be to try to make the swing gang laugh with little signs that nobody was going to see.
Right.
I mean, I remember, I think it was Jerry's artwork or art show or whatever, all of the little artist descriptions were just goofy. But on this show,
But the actors see them too. It lends to the scene. It lends to the set. It's very important because it lends to their reality of what they're in the moment.
And
right. And on this show, more people are going to freeze frame. That's the thing. I've never been involved in a show where you know people are freeze framing every single yeah. shot to yeah. see where the hidden jokes are.
It's great.
I think that one that people do get to see in these episodes is what do you call Sean Graham? It's something blowhard. Like, isn't it the Bad Place Greatest Blowhard or right. something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Whatever it is, we could freeze it. And that's yeah. the thing is that when you watch it, you can just enjoy whatever it is. But if you were to pause it because you got to go to the bathroom or get some laundry or more wine, you're going to enjoy when you come back and see the screen and you're going to say, what? And I think that's what inspired the many freeze frame and attention that the show gets.
Yeah.
In all different departments. Everyone's doing that.
But what's great too is that not everything is written, and the creative freedom that like Graham gets, or like we get to explore that, especially with Graham and like little things and like calling out museum torture items or like this employee board. Like, we should talk about that too, that's kind of a throwback to well, yes. Parks.
Yeah, without
a doubt. So it's not, and I don't think that was written. That's something that came out of like discussion.
Yeah.
That's something creative that came out of discussion. It wasn't written to look like the Parks.
and I think that the token of triumph for that wall was that Jason talks about those pictures, and that was not scripted. That was ad-libbed. He's walking down and he's commenting on things that we put there because we thought they needed to be there. And the gift that an actor notices it and uses yeah. it to motivate Absolutely. The scene is such a big compliment. Right.
Now you, the three of you are on the wall, right?
The whole entire art department is actually on the wall. Oh. And in fact, I am pretty sure that everybody gets seen.
Yeah. I know
that's true.
I know Adam does. Because I saw.
Ian, you're right.
Graham, there. You're Adam? Not in it. Graham's not.
You're not in it? Well, sorry, Graham.
He's the bee poster. But yeah, no, Ian's definitely in it. Ian, you get some
and
good
Camille's
play.
And Camille's in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Camille is in there. Stephanie is in there. Yeah. Jeff is in there.
Stephanie, our PA, Jeff, our art department coordinator, Camille, who isn't here but nominated also as our set designer. Yeah, and then they took the photos and had them up in the office all season. So every time you walked in and out of the office, you would see all of them in black and white.
And that was awesome. That was all thanks to Jeff. And even in the office, they were organized in hierarchy yeah. of the art department,
yeah.
which was quite so funny even to me. And it's a little weird seeing.
Did you keep it?
Oh, I do mine. Still have. Oh, yeah. I have mine. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Graham, you got yours? Graham, you have yours?
Oh, he didn't.
I didn't take one. But yeah, we made sure to save it.
He's shutter shy.
Oh, Graham, you're like the you would have been perfect in there. What are you doing?
And then I think that Morgan's definitely in it.
And Morgan's second in there.
And so are 5 to 7 people from the Park and Recreation.
Some of the writers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan Gore's in there. I think he's right
Dan
next
Gore,
to
Dan Gore, yeah. And Neil, I forget his name. But I remembered it. I was like, oh, there's that writer. But yeah.
And then just great. So you know, too, like we great took throwback. Those photos. Those aren't stock photos. Like I sat with... Yeah. 35 you know, various aged Bad Place people, and who'd never, some of them had never been background before. And they're asking me, what do they do? And I'm saying, you know, stand austere, proud, negative, upset, you know, whatever. And you're that's the, what you get.
You're a Bad Place Employee of the Month. Now, the pin that is on the lapel of everyone, I believe.
Which is highly coveted, by the way. Yeah. And is selling like crazy online. The and it's not sanctioned by NBC. Let's say that.
Graham, did you do that?
No, I did not do the. I did thumbs down or thumbs up, about, as it were.
The thumbs down.
But no, that one was Evan.
Was who?
Evan.
Evan. Oh, he's not on this one. We're not talking about that. No, but we should say that it was a graphic developed by the art department that is now like an iconic image that is, you know, coveted by people who love this show.
Yeah.
And I think speaking of Bad Place, we should talk about Demon Con, because that is kind of an epic point in that episode.
Such fun, because I think the notes I got was like, there's a lot of smoke and there's a lot of coffee, and it's, you know, dated.
And by the way, we're gonna blow goo all over every piece of set dressing that you bring in. So
double your curtains, double your tablecloths, double your chairs,
double your 16-foot drapes.
It was gonna be a huge explosion, which I think it wasn't in reality, and they made it bigger in post, because I actually don't remember paying that much L&D.
I think that they did a good job of keeping it off, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it's also very important to note that that theater didn't exist in that room. We put that in there.
Yeah.
That was a 3 a.m. call on Kim's first Mother's Day.
Yes, it was.
So I won't forget that, because we both were like, what?
Are you kidding? Is this just cruel? This is just cruel.
So we loaded that set in, and it went in overnight, and it was ready for dressing in the morning, and we were out of there in 24, 48 hours. They had one day of shooting, and then we were out.
So this was also just an opportunity to give character to, like, table dressing, which isn't quite exciting. Because there weren't flowers, because we didn't want to do like it was, because it was more of a convention and it wasn't like they
and
would
we
have
also
a centerpiece.
Wanted it to be the most boring convention that ever existed because it's supposed to be torture.
So it's like that mustard colors. It's like I think our drapery
earth tones, very deep earth tones. Yeah.
I also know that we did like a side. We did a side
we
thing,
did a
like backstage
that never got
seen. That didn't get seen.
With an
too.
Amazing sign by Graham that said something along the lines of, it's not entertaining, play cats, which is very timely at the moment.
If the audience is not appropriately bored, we will play selections from Cats.
And I also think it's important to note that Ian, you had an idea of a really great location that was like a Masonic temple or something. And we couldn't go there because it didn't fit in the day. Right. And then we basically tried to make our theater be something like that. Yeah. And we had these really great textures. It's very dark in there. So I don't know if you can actually see it on
TV. There's no windows or anything.
I think you do get a little hint of the texture on the proscenium there. And that was all created by us.
There's one sign that Mead Nagle, I think it says Demon Con up over the top of the
banner
that was brought in, that we didn't put that there by visual effects. But it was there. That set was not there and then was there and then gone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any particular graphics from that set that you can think of, Graham, that you...
I mean, we went through a couple different versions of what the main poster with Sean was going to look like. Mm-hmm.
I do remember that.
Right. I know. I think our first pass was a little bit more 50s and still kind of boring, but it was like, no, Mike said, no, it has to be more boring. And I remember dialing it back even further. And I think it hit the sweet spot, but it's one of those things where when you're working on it, you're like, well, I can't. This is too boring. We can't
possibly make this any more boring. Yes.
We also had like 5 or 6 photos of the actor who played Sean, like in boring poses. Like try to tell an actor be boring, and
he's
did it.
He's
thankfully,
so perfect.
Yeah, Mark is
Mark
really
is so perfect.
Good at that.
Yeah.
Although
and
I
that
have to
voice.
Say, I can't tell you how many people walked up to me that day, and there were all the flyers that were sitting on the bar.
Oh, right.
And people kept walking up and said, these are the most brilliant flyers. how did you come up with these? And I said, Graham. That's all Graham.
All Graham.
I had nothing to do with any of this. And
so in a scene, I think Michael goes over and looks at the flyers that Demon Con is, you know, promoting their seminars. And
right.
Is that
it? Well, we also, for Gay, I made up a bunch of itinerary pamphlets. They were like,
right.
I think she ended up making them something like 50 pages, like these super thick itineraries. I only did the first 5 pages, and then I think she duplicated them. But I don't know that those actually got seen. I think they're in a pile in the background.
I don't think they were over on the bar.
There was quite a few that didn't get seen, because I mean, the chant, Die Hard or Eat Hearts or whatever, was on the wall, and you do see that, but you don't see much else paper prop-wise.
Unfortunately. Well, those were fun sets. And then we go to the bright light and beautiful Tahani's Lake House, which was a beautiful home in Studio City, I believe.
Yeah, I would love to live in that house.
I would love to live there. And there wasn't a whole lot of work there for me, to be honest. It was styled.
A little bit of changing the artwork.
Artwork, and then the table and the dressing the table. And Gay brought in a lot of the food. And I think minimalizing what was there, actually, to make it look more modern and more like...
A little more stark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was basically it. But you guys dealt with, you know, working with like what the set extension would be and if that location worked for the scene. And
I mean, it was really about the contrast of what that was in comparison to Tahani's.
To her mansion.
To her mansion. That is so over the top and so overbearing and old world.
Yeah, it's so different from her mansion.
I think what was successful too, like as a viewer, I mean, obviously I'm biased, I'm working on the show, but after 4 seasons, it can be difficult to find a new language to introduce something different. And that house successfully, and I think you guys found a great choice to bring a world that we hadn't seen yet on that show. Like that was a very modern mid-century look that really hadn't been introduced.
Without clowns.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I enjoyed taking her out of the element of the frou-frou.
And a big token to, I guess I should say, congratulations to Need Noggle, because if you guys remember, it was pouring rain that day. And I don't know how you watch that scene. And
you don't even
know how it's raining, but it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was mud in that house everywhere.
I feel like that scene was shot out of that in a very small window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, look, it's drizzling. Run outside and start shooting.
Was that Beth? I think
that was
Beth McCarthy Miller directed that episode also. Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. So moving on to the other episode that we are nominated for, we should say Mindy's house is in a lot of this episode, and I hope and I wonder if any of the audience has noticed that Mindy's doesn't look different because now
we don't want it to look any different.
No, after 4 seasons of traveling 40 miles, I don't know, to a location and dressing it every time, repainting, carpeting, doing that every single time. They
Pile
decide
work, greens,
putting in that middle wall between the kitchen and everything. They decided to build it. So Ian designed and built that on stage with Adam. And it's a redress for me ever, but I have changed slightly over the seasons. But aren't you glad that they built it?
And there are a few slight differences, and I'm not going to give any of those away.
I don't know what they are.
Good. If you can't remember, then hopefully nobody else can remember. But that set, Mindy's house, was actually a set built on location.
No, it was an existing house.
Well,
no, that was a set.
It was an existing set built on location.
But it wasn't...
It was not a real practical house. None of the water ran.
Okay, true.
None of the bathrooms
worked.
Right. So it was a set. And we built a set of the set on stage.
Yeah.
And...
But you guys also built like the front yard, which was impressive
to
me, I thought. That whole front yard. And then you had a beautiful backdrop that went all the way around the house.
Which was
awesome.
That is from a show that I got my start on.
Carnival?
Yeah. Dan Bishop.
You're talking about the backing?
The backing, yeah. Yes. That, if you remember, that's the backing from outside of the farmhouse. So let me ask something.
When they said they're going to do this scene, did you think, carnival backdrop, that's going
to
work?
No, I can't tell you how many backings we searched through to find the right backing, and it just so happened.
You know, I was trying to give you a look there.
I wish that I could remember that far back.
I think it's important to note, too, at this part, I mean, we were talking about two specific episodes, but there is a team effort here, and Carolyn King was involved in creating Mindy's and Chidi's, which we'll talk about probably in a minute. Because that she pioneered that, and I think it's worth mentioning that she was helpful in creating that replica.
She was out measuring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, not being there the first couple episodes, David Smith helped rebuild that decorating-wise. So, yeah.
And, you know, he also had to not only deal with dressing a set that he had never dressed before, but you had dressed for
I took multiple it over from seasons. Diana. Yeah. It's a weird thing when you take over someone else's dressing because, as I've said, you want to be respectful and sometimes you don't agree with choices and sometimes you're like, man, I wish I thought of that. So there's always this seesaw of like, oh, well, did anyone notice that, if but I then, change it? Or
then we were changing the set on top of it in order to be able to
accommodate.
Put it on our stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is an important topic to discuss is that like we are always inheriting other people's decisions because we were not all there. All of us
inherited this show,
and you want to respect it, but then the script changes or a thing happens, and you have to adapt it, and you want to respect and influence and make your own statement for that part of the script. And Mindy's house was used all along in many ways and ruined the end of the season. Yeah. It was a destroyed set.
Yeah,
not destroyed, but they blow up people in it.
All right, Adam.
What? That happens. That's already happened.
I don't
happened.
Think it happened yet. Did it?
Yeah, it totally happened.
Yeah. They blew up. Oh, yeah, yeah. They blew up Glenn. Yeah.
The same episode.
Right, I get really...
And if you... and if you
I don't remember what happened.
And if you... If you were...
I don't want to sue on this. Okay?
I feel like next...
NBC being like, oh, you blew the ending.
No, it feels like an ending, but it's not.
Next time we do this, we're doing it Mystery Science Theater style. So there's no question.
Yeah. I mean, I also am very jealous because I missed the first four episodes that David Smith got to do Chidi's apartment, which was a build this season and beautifully done and a little French thing. That
and Adam missed that as well.
I did. Yeah, we both were out of it. So a tip,
David Smith and Carolyn King both worked tirelessly on creating those sets and.
And he lived above yogurt the whole time. Who knew?
Talk a little bit about that because I think that's fascinating.
Like, people are like, where did he live this whole time?
Nobody.
He had a view of the square the whole time.
Nobody
What's
really
this guy's
knew
rent?
Where Chidi lived.
But the balls of it is like Eleanor and Tahani have these big, gigantic,
sprawling estates. I mean, Tahani certainly has an estate. And
he's got,
we're not
like,
really sure what she has.
His place
what
is
Eleanor
smaller
has.
Than mine, and that's
yes. yes. But his place was filled with all the things that he loved. It was, he loved
it's just
books
man.
And research and studying.
Which
that
was fun in the episode that we got to look at his childhood and go back to Seagal and do the classroom and his parents' house and, I really enjoyed that episode and diving into that character and seeing, you know, what did his parents have and what inspired him and what would have been in the Good Place and taking, we discussed taking things from his Good Place apartment and putting them in his parents' house so those would be items of comfort. And
which is a favorite part of that to me.
Yeah.
It really is beautiful. You made a great decision to do that.
I think it helped in relation to his family and how important that was to him.
Well, it gave
that
him
little
roots,
scene of him
really.
Like pulling out the child. The chalkboard is so sad.
I feel like it gave him roots.
Yeah.
And that was something that you and I had discussed was, you know, taking these little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And putting
his
them
bedroom,
in
which
his...
they didn't get to see a lot of, which was
which
really
was a bummer.
Good. Yeah.
On the classroom. Good. I mean, they saw some of it, but they didn't see a lot of it.
Yeah. No, that was good. That was a fun episode, too, I mean. But the big thing in that next episode is the party that goes on, that you've made it a year, and that the beautiful installations that you guys did, can you talk about that a little bit and how you decided to go that way?
I think that's all you.
I definitely looked up a lot of really cool stuff. Just in general, like LA is a party city, so that felt like, well, let's see what they got. And I think I walked into your office with, I don't know, 7 or 8 interesting things that could be rented, with your tip off or Patrick's tip off from the contact at Town and Country.
Town and Country.
And I, you know, I don't really know how you picked what you picked, but I remember laying them out in front of you. And then you were like, these teepees are amazing. And that was really what did it. That was the kind of the linchpin. And then the rest of the artwork and the sets were built around that.
I guess the one thing that I remember about that set was as things were starting to get delivered and teepees were getting set up.
Oh my God, it was so awful.
Adam came into my office and said, Ian, I think we have a problem. I need you to come out to the back lot and look at these light towers. They don't have any backs on them.
That's right.
And I remember thinking,
Graham, hurry up, make a sign.
Oh, shit. What are we going to do about this? And I got out there, and I think we kind of looked at it, and we were like, well, we can hang some shiny, sparkly drapery on it. And I think we found probably the most garish quarter inch drapery that we could find.
That was came up with sparkled with that fabric, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
You got to wear it as
and
a you cape. Know what?
And I put it on a little cape.
and
then I was like, what are these guys
brilliantly.
Doing? Yeah. It did work.
Because it sparkled.
It was a little concerning to see an art director and a production designer with fabric. That's not usually
trying to
your...
hide the back of a structure.
That's not... that we didn't know what Patrick to do and with. I, my lead man and I looked at each other and like, hey man, they're not asking us to do it. Let them do it. We got enough problems. Because it took so long to install those teepees, really.
It did, yes.
It took a very long time. And so I was getting very nervous of the amount of time that I was having to dress the set. I remember freaking out a little bit.
I think the statement, though, was that we wanted something, a year's worth of remembering and of celebration, and those did it. And then we needed a lot of light because we're filming in darkness and we need to motivate
light nighttime,
source.
Which is unusual for this show. We don't do a lot of nighttime shoots.
And everyone was going to be in black. A little bit,
but,
you know?
It's also, I think the idea behind the whole scene was it's New Year's.
Yeah, it's kind of like a New Year's
it's
party.
A New Year's celebration, except for the fact that you have to do this
it's
for
eternity. It's eternity.
Which Graham made quite prevalent on the banner that hung there. And it was, that's the whole idea of this, is you have to celebrate this forever. And it's going to be the same shitty party every time you get here.
Graham, was that scripted or was that like a collaboration of you coming up with options?
That one was scripted. I'm almost positive. The 1 year down, infinity to go.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That was scripted.
Yeah.
But that banner, I feel like, was one of those that hit on the very first time. I feel like that was just like one or two passes, and then, because I think, Ian, you had said it should feel New Year's and more upscale than our usual Good Place banners. And
right.
I think it hit right away.
Yeah, and we had designed the posts that hung from,
right,
which were those light posts that framed, it was sort of a proscenium of the stairway there.
Yeah.
Now look, anybody who works in this business knows that it's a fight to get on the set. You know, you got the installation of these set pieces, and then grips are in there with you, or then lighting's in there with you, and then it's set dressing, and then it's props. Like, there's definitely a list of people that go in at a certain amount of time, because props can't go in if grips are in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, there has to be a progression so that the set is ready. Our lighting guys, who are so sweet, it was a struggle, I think, in this set particularly, getting, because there was so much lighting and they had the balls to put up and they were trying them, and then it was daytime and they had a lot of struggles
and
themselves.
They had to light the teepees, and they had to light the town, and they had to light the square.
They had a big job on this, and it looks great on camera. I mean, I think the coloring that they picked was great. I think the softness that they had was great, and not having like spotlights and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
I think it all looked really, really good.
And then they had to battle with a sinkhole.
Yeah.
Right.
The green screen of right. the sinkhole.
Which is, you know, from a production standpoint, especially art department, you say green screen and it's hard not to roll your eyes because that would be a fun thing to do.
Right.
But we actually did have a good time trying to figure out how to do it on stage. You should talk a little bit about that and collaboration.
It was on the stage of the backlot.
Mm-hmm.
But then you built it on stage, right?
Yeah, then we yes. had like a wall yeah. that had like green squares that Ninagal picked for right. like handholds, and yeah. I can honestly say that it did not look like what I anticipated it to look like. I thought they were going to be in a different position. Like, it didn't make sense to me when they were filming it how it would work, but it worked.
Right. It all started on the back lot with literally just a tape line that none of the actors could step in front of. And Neednoggle would create that sinkhole. And then, you're right, we went on stage and we built a giant green wall with some 2x4 handholds for the actors to kind of hang on to about, what, a foot off the ground?
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, we have David Neednoggle.
Yeah.
Also a demon. To create that sinkhole.
Well, that guy's awesome.
And it shows you how good the actors were. I mean, that yeah. they're convincing. I mean, that's yeah. what sells that yeah. set is they are convincing.
They sell the whole show.
Yeah, they yeah. really do.
Yeah. It's a lot to ask, too, because I think as lost as we are sometimes in reading this of like, wait, what? They've got to be like, wait, what am I saying? Like,
and they have to believe it.
They have to believe it.
Yeah.
They do an amazing job. And I really do love Ted Danson in the show. I really think that he's kind of the best.
But I have to say that 70%, maybe even 80% of them believing what they're doing is us doing a good job.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because just informing.
If we didn't do that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have anything to act with.
I tend to think of things like when we create, like, the bar, the moose job, the bar,
yeah.
things like that, when they have this huge fight scene and you have to, like, do all those actions. Or, like, when Graham did all of the graphics for the buffet, like, they just ate all of that up so much and loved shooting in that buffet for, like,
yeah.
2-3 days or something.
Yeah.
We were there for, like, I think 2 days. Think.
For Cowboy Buffet, yeah, yeah.
yeah. Or yeah, Cowboy Skyscraper.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, when Kristen Bell is tweeting out pictures of the menu,
yeah, yeah,
and that just shows what kind of talent,
yeah,
you know, we have
behind the camera. Graham is
the one creating all of that, and if we have actors tweeting that stuff out before the episode even airs, hey. That's we must be doing something right.
Graham, how long did it take to come up with that menu?
That menu was almost a week, I feel like. That was when I first came on.
Yeah.
And I was basically just put in to handle Cowboy Skyscraper.
Graham, there's no way. I mean, I love that. There's no way we would have let you be able to go a week. There was so much other things going on because you did all those windows, well, too, and the Montana thing.
All of the stuff in Cowboy Skyscraper.
Yeah, I think he's talking about the whole
time. Okay, gotcha.
Settle
down, Adam.
No, I'm excited that he would be like, oh, yeah, I had a week. You did not.
we did not make a feature film.
There's no way this guy sat there for a week working on one menu. We don't want the producers to hear that either. I think he had the set to do for a week.
Yes, sorry. You know, the menu was probably half a day. I feel like
that was a lot.
Yeah, that sounds about right with everything else that was going on in there.
Right.
You had yeah. so much to do.
Window graphics, signage, tabletops.
The tables, the wooden tables, which I only sort of get seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the San Francisco art piece that yeah, was in a window that wall. Never got seen.
All the yeah. stuff at the bar, the yeah. motorcycle,
so
the liquor bottles.
Yeah.
I mean, being on Earth season 3 was really fun. Like, I will always love season 4 because it was the end and it was sweet, but season 3 kept us on our toes and we still never argued with each other. You don't like season three? I love season three.
I don't like season three because we couldn't fall back on like Michael. Oh, they're gonna go to Michael's office.
That's true. It was always on his feet.
All right. Phew.
It was okay, no, all it about was locations, all locations all the time. Yeah.
It was hard.
And
give me another.
It was not just locations. We were all around the world.
All around the world.
Australia, yeah. London.
We were only those plug outs.
Yo, yeah. We were plug outs.
That is right. That's right.
Yo, we built that whole university and they only shot it like twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, woo, we're going to have, at least we'll have this set. Oh my God, is Eleanor's even coming back? No, this is all we have to like as a backup set. And then they were only there maybe three episodes.
We shot Chidi's apartment. More than we shot our standing sets for season three.
Yeah. So let's do last thoughts of season four. Anybody have a favorite set or anything they want to talk about? And just how we're going to miss The Good Place. It's
really
our last
am.
Season.
I mean, yeah. this camaraderie, like I don't talk like this among my other colleagues on other shows.
We don't have cool shows.
I mean, we got cool shows. We're all doing great things. But like, it is fun to sit back with you guys and reminisce. I mean, that's what's gone. I mean, you can't harness that again. And that's why we live in an ephemeral work life. Like, I think we all sickly enjoy the beginning and the end. Otherwise, we'd be bank tellers or we'd work on a job that never ended. But this was a sweet one, and I know that it'll be hard to harness us all to back together, and that's sad. And I remember David Hyman, who was one of the producers on the show, he said to me, it is really sad. And the way that he said it, it really did affect me, because I was like, yeah, he's right. This is when this group breaks up. This is a 7-year relationship on Park and Recreation for some people.
Yeah, the band breaks up.
And then a four, another one, and that's what's sad. Not but that the show isn't.
But. What I think is sad, when we were on Parks, you knew that it was going to end, like we were on season 7. I feel like with Good Place, it's abrupt but correct. Mm-hmm. Like I get it why it's ending at 4 seasons, but I wish it wasn't, because I still feel like there's more sets to be had or there's more character development that we could do. But yeah, I think it's totally sad that the show's over, and I don't think I appreciated it enough when I was in it.
I agree.
That's the bummer.
Yeah,
that's my bummer.
I think that's always the hardest part of every show is...
I don't think it's every show.
All right. It's not every show. But there are very special shows that I feel like I have underappreciated.
Yeah.
Now, of course, like Adam says, it's all work and we all love the beginning and the end. And yes, it's important that we all end on a high note. I feel like this nomination for all of us sitting here is a high note.
Absolutely.
And we all will work together again, and Mike Schur will create another brilliant show and will just continue the family tradition of working together.
Yes.
I do think it's important to say that Mike Schur is a big reason not to like kiss ass, but like he really is inspirational, and anyone who gets to work with him, be lucky with that, because how many times did we come into meetings with a bonkers idea, or he said a bonkers idea to us, and we got to make it, and there was not a lot of abrasion or conflict. It was very fun to make the shows that we made.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As hard as it may
be. I think it's the most art department friendly show I've ever been on, as far as it being encouraging to the art department to come up with things and to try anything that you want to try, and then be softly told, oh, no, that's wrong or whatever. But I don't know. For me, speaking for myself, it was the most fun job I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I would
the
like
freedom,
to
especially in graphics. There's a lot there's freedom. I mean, just because it's written on the page and then you expand so much on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'd like to add to what Graham said, I think we all have freedom to do our jobs and do them correctly, and sure there are times where
on The Good Place.
Yes.
Okay.
Where we've been shot down.
Yeah.
and maybe it wasn't the best idea that we came up with in the meeting, and maybe somebody else had a better idea.
Gay.
But you know what? Gay Perillo.
Gay Perillo had a better idea.
I think everybody goes along with it. Nobody fights it.
No.
And
no assholes. Because there's no assholes. Right. He doesn't hire assholes.
We like to just have a good time working together.
Yeah.
I do think
that I think is important.
I think you were saying, like, what's the last thing? I really do think if the show in 25 years is a thing, it's actually nothing to do with the art department. It's Janet's costume. Like, you could put Janet's costume on a mannequin and you would know what the show is.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm actually going to slightly disagree. Okay. I'm going to bet in 25 years.
What are they
going
to remember?
There are going to be graphics for sale on eBay.
That's true.
Just like another Sure Show that I know. That so I wish true. I wish I had just one penny for every one of those that sold.
You're totally right.
The thumbs up, thumbs down. Graham, you got to put it in your contract right now.
Hey, man, I've got a framed piece. As Ian does too, of the wall of the sunflower wall yep. from Parks and Rec, that I'm just waiting for the Twins College Fund to kick in. So I think the iconic thing of this show is probably Janet. I think you're right. Or I don't know. I think it's just the dynamic of Kristen and Michael.
Yeah.
Something in that is dynamic and rememberable and probably will be duplicated on other shows.
I can duplicate the clock on the wall and sell it to you.
Graham's going to be say? The richest.
What Graham? What's your token, Graham?
What did you say?
Well, I was going to say, I've seen some Jeremy Bear Me tattoos. I
can believe that. No really? Way. Already? Oh, what about the cookbook? I mean, yeah, we plug that person's cookbook?
I think, too, that Yogurt, 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 God willing, will be a place at Universal Backlot in 25 years, like the falling apart Lions Estates gates from Back to the Future.
I feel like if I look up YYY tattoo right now,
oh my God.
I can find a million of them. And the fact that you're telling me Jeremy Bear Me or...
I think Graham has this all beat because he's got all these graphics on a hard drive that he can print out anytime. That's he right. Wants.
At his whim.
I'm going to miss The Good Place. And
me too.
Our ADG Awards is the first weekend of February. I think it's the third.
It's the first.
Oh, the first.
Yeah.
It's first.
So we're hoping anyone who's out there who's a voter who's listening to this, just give us, just, you know what? You heard it. You heard all our woes and all of our triumphs here. We worked really hard, and we're really proud of our work. So this was mostly for the viewers of the show, and we know you're watching if you watch the show. But thank you so much to every you guys coming over and having a pizza party with me.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Graham. I'm so sorry you couldn't be with us, but thanks for Skyping in. Graham, what are you working on?
At the moment, nothing.
Oh, sweet.
So if you hear anything.
Working on vacation.
Working on vacation right, yeah. time. Did you just finish anything? What were you doing?
Well, I did some traveling at the end of the year.
Oh, lucky you.
To New Zealand and stuff. So.
Oh, awesome. Living your life. That's what it's all about.
Where his wife is working.
Oh, right. But she's home now, right?
Yeah, she's home now.
Yeah. Please just describe what your wife does so no one else is crazy. Go ahead.
Oh, she's a set designer, but she works on ginormous projects that take her all over the world. So then I get to fly and visit her and don't have to pay for a hotel. It's very nice.
Very nice. I remember at one point she was working on the new Ghostbusters, and you were she won't tell me anything. She wouldn't tell you anything. She's like, oh. Yeah. Ian? What did you just finished up a film?
Just finished a movie in Oklahoma. Story about four families and a tornado that brings them all together.
Cool.
Cold in Oklahoma and windy. Cold and windy.
But
you know
awful.
What? I think it'll be a fun movie.
Oh, well, there you go.
What's it called?
It's called 13 Minutes.
Okay.
Nice. Is that how much time you have?
That is exactly how much time they have before a tornado hits. Kind of scary. But then again, we live in California where we 13. Get zero, so.
That's true. Adam, what are you doing?
I'm on a movie called The Prom, hopefully out in November of next year, based on a Broadway musical.
Is it about a prom?
It's about three, actually. Three proms.
Is there dancing and there's teenage people? There's
several dancing and a lot of singing.
Yeah. And a few proms. With Meryl Streep and Gwyneth Paltrow, by the way.
Nicole Kidman.
Oh, Nicole Kidman. Yes.
Yep. God, hopefully people will like it.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. And good luck to us. Fingers crossed.
Yay.
Vote for us.
Yes. Thank you.
Go Good Place.
I think we had too good of a time with this, but it could have been the two bottles of wine. Sorry, Graham. I don't know if you were drinking on your side, but I know we had a good time. I hope you were able to get some insight into the design process of The Good Place and how each of our jobs as designer, art director, set decorator, and graphics work together to bring these sets to life. And I hope for the super fans, we gave you some insider little tidbits. I actually had to edit out two segments of us speaking because I think we got a little too into future episodes or might have given something away, and I didn't want that to happen. The Good Place airs Thursday nights on NBC. There are, I think, 4 or 5 episodes left, and I'm not spoiling anything in saying that it's a great ending to this show, and get some tissues. Be sure to check out the website to subscribe to the mailing list for email updates on released episodes and blog posts. I haven't really had time for my What's Wanna Watching blog, which is about the designs of the plethora of TV and film that I watch, but I'm gonna get back into that, so New Year's resolution. So check that out. I do have a quick show note. On part 2 of the David Smith interview, David misspoke about a title in reference to his work with John Hutman. The TV show was called Gideon's Crossing and not The Guardian. I hope you got an earful. I'm Kim Wanup for Decorating Pages. Decorating Pages is sponsored by Stogie Floaty. Float 'em if you got 'em. On sale now at stogiefloaty.com.